Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk. Just ask, maybe we could just all remain standing, and we're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to get right into the reading of Scripture. And I'm going to be reading from our text today. It's Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 40. So it's a few verses here, so buckle up. But it's all good. It's the Word of God. And if you remember, Philip had just come to Samaria, and revival had broken out. And then we pick it up in verse 9, and it says this: "But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the power of God that is called great.' They paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Get this, even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. And now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity.' And Simon answered, 'Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me.' And now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he arose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah and the prophet, and asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?' And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going down along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." And so, Lord, thank you for the reading of your word, and pray that you'd speak to us and minister to us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. You can be seated, and thanks so much to the team. And how many know that was a long passage? But praise the Lord. And I do want to remind everybody that we do have, today's a family service, and so we don't have our normal children's ministry, but we do have childcare available for six and under. And so if any of your kids would like to take advantage of that, that's available over just behind those doors there. And so... So yeah, long passage of scripture. By the way, did everyone have a great Thanksgiving? You did good? Yeah, some of you? I know I was mentioning to Lourdes before, I'm like, I have not been hungry in 3 days, right? Right? You just keep eating. You're never hungry. You just eat, you know, because. And so so here's how I'll get going. And I just want to unpack that text there in the book of Acts. And so I'll start by doing this. And so I have my daughters are 26 and 24. And so, like, I depend on my daughters to keep me kind of up with cutting edge of technology and, so you know, culture and that kind of stuff. And so my daughter's always doing these quizzes on Facebook or e-news. Have you ever done these where, like, kind of they'll get, hey, which Disney character are you? And you answer 9 ridiculous questions and you'll be like, you're Belle or something like that, right? And so I'm doing Beauty and the Beast the other day and I'm nobody. I answer the 9 questions and I can't be Gaston or the Beast. You know, I'm just some stupid, like, Cogsworth or something. Oh, great, you know. And then she did a Lord of the Rings, or excuse me, not Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. So she did that one, and so I answered my 9 questions. And so I'm not Ed Stark, or I'm not Jon Snow, but I'm Arya Stark. And if you're like, isn't that a girl? Yes, that's a girl. That's my point, you know. And but here's, like, we're looking at these 3 characters this morning from the passage in the book of Acts, and I think really here's my goal this morning is for you to examine your life and figure out which character are you like. Because we're going to look at 3 very different, very unique people. We look at Philip, we look at Simon the magician, and then we're going to look at an Ethiopian eunuch. And so we'll see where you fall into that. And so, Lord, give us grace this morning, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And so we got to start by talking about Philip the evangelist. And I brought in a prop for you. I'll be right back, Periscope. All right. I brought in a prop for you. So before you can understand Philip the evangelist, you have to understand this. So this hangs over my fireplace at my home. I've never told this story, bizarre story. So, you know, we have churches all around the world in every nation. And so we had a church conference from our leaders from over in Asia. And so we had one of our leaders come over from Japan. And so we're in this giant conference, pastors everywhere. And as they're preaching, this Japanese prophet, he gets up in front of everybody. And then as we're worshiping stuff, he points to me and he says, "You, sir, you're the man in my vision. I want to see you afterwards." And so I'm like, oh my gosh, what in the world? And so I go out and I meet this guy, and I'm like fear and trembling, and I go meet this guy. And he says, "Son, you're the man I saw in my vision, and God wanted me to give this to you." And he says, "You're to go bring my word around the world." And you know what? None of that's true. I totally made all of that up, all right? But wouldn't that have been a cool story? So, see, the reality is we had a men's group, and they found these on eBay, and so we all got one, and so kind of cool. But what you need to know, and Pastor Dottie, will you take this before I hurt somebody? But what you need to know is this. You know the word samurai, it literally means a servant. And we have a word in our Bible for that, deacon. A deacon, it means servant. That a samurai or a deacon is someone that serves God and serves his church. And we see this guy, Philip, who is going about. He's not one of the apostles. He's a normal guy who received the word of God and the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. And wherever he goes, the atmosphere changes. And as he begins to serve Christ and serve other people, the broken and the hurting, they're healed, they're made well, they're getting saved, and revival breaks out wherever Philip goes. And I don't know about you, I want to be a samurai like Philip. Like I want my story and my life to count for something. And we see that Philip, that he gave his life over, and yet he, in return, he received all this significance and impact into God's story. And so, you know, the samurai, they also have a code of conduct that they go by. It's called the Bushido. And in the Bushido, they have these things that they have, like, 4 like core values, and it's loyalty, compassion, courage, and honor. And you know, as I open up the scriptures, you know that the Apostle Paul says that if you want to serve the Lord and be a servant of Almighty God, that there's a code of conduct for us. And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says that deacons or servants likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy or dishonest for gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons. If they prove themselves blameless, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their homes well. For those who serve well as deacons, they gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith. And so that this is our code of conduct as servants of Christ. And so samurai, he would say, and this, I'll get off the samurai thing, okay? But they also have one other thing. They said that for a samurai, it was no tragedy to die. But the tragedy would be is to not serve your master well. And when I read that, I immediately, my mind goes to Romans chapter 12. It says that because Christ died for us, therefore let us now give our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is our reasonable service to him. And so this is, I want to be like Philip, a man who serves God and serves other people. And so, and here's what I think you'll find. As you sow out your life, you'll return more than you ever imagined. And so ESPN did a special on this guy, Sebastian Terry. I don't know if you've seen this one. It's a pretty compelling story. Sebastian Terry is a young man over in Australia. He's in his mid-20s, and his dear lifelong friend, also in his mid-20s, suddenly died. And, you know, moments like that, death, like birth and death, they bring you and they get you examining your own life. And as he was examining his own life, he was like, hey, if I was to die today, would I have wrung all there was out of life? And he says, my friend, he lived life well, but if I was to die, I would still be wanting. And so he began as he's searching in his heart, he wrote out 100 things that he wanted to do before he died. And so these 100 things was like kind of his bucket list that he would go. And as he began to go through these things, like he hitchhiked across America from the East Coast to the West Coast. That he went to South America and was shot, but he had a bulletproof vest on, but he wanted to see what that would be like. He went and stayed the night in the Playboy Mansion. He wanted to see what that would be like, okay? And so all these different things until he got to number 26 on his list. And number 26 was this, is to serve a stranger, to help a stranger. And so he got viral internet attention, and so all these people were looking for help, and he actually followed up with a guy named Mark who had Lyme's disease, and he had lost function from his neck down, and so he was in a wheelchair, and what he asked was, could Sebastian carry him or push him in a half marathon? And so he met Mark, and they made a good bond, a friendship, and they ran the race together, and Sebastian's pushing him the whole time. And he says they got to the finish line, and everyone celebrated, and they're all hugging Mark and high-fiving Sebastian. And he said never before in his life had he felt such a sense of purpose, significance, fulfillment. And so he thought it was going to be 100 things on his list, but it was number 26 where it all stopped. And he says, this is what I want to give my life to. And so now he goes around the world and he asks people, what's on your list? Because I want to help you achieve that, about serving and helping others. And that's a very biblical idea. See, the scripture, it's very counterintuitive. It says, hey, you're looking for life, then you need to give your life away. You want to reap, then you need to sow. And so as we do these things, and as you look at the life of Philip, it's crazy. He baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch. It's like he shoots off into space, winds up in Azotus, and next time we hear about him is in Caesarea, all the way to chapter 21. That's 28 years later that Philip will come up on the scene. And guess what? His family serving Jesus. He has 4 girls that are prophets. He's still in the ministry. He's still in the game. And that's what I want to be. I want to just be in this thing. You know how many people I know, they're in this thing in the ministry, and you know, 5 years later, they're out, they're forsaken, they're out doing that stuff. Man, I want to be as strong 28 years from now, still el fuego for Jesus, right? And so I hope you want that as well. Here's something else I noticed about Philip, that he was obedient to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, like revival is breaking out in Samaria, but Holy Spirit's like, no. You need to go out into the desert and into the wilderness. And as he obeys, what happens? Man, he has this divine appointment with somebody. And so I want to be like Philip, be obedient to the Spirit. So the book of Galatians chapter 5, it talks about this, in the book of Galatians, it talks about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And it's a military term, like you march in step with your commanding officer. It can also be a dance term. Any dancers in here? Good. Stay seated, all right? Anybody Dancing with the Stars, have you ever seen that show? I'm embarrassed to say I watched that show, okay? And so Dancing with the Stars, we did something actually with the New York Jets. We actually did a dance lesson with the players that kind of go to chapel and want to be involved, them and their spouses. And so we had a girl, A.C. German was her name. She was one of the Rockettes. And so she was going to train the people. Only problem was her husband got sick, was supposed to be her dance partner. So guess who got the gig? Yours truly, right? And so I was supposed to be there to help teach the guys how to do this with their spouses. And so we went to this very nice hotel in Morristown, and we were there, and they had dance floor put out. And not 2 minutes into the dance lesson, we had one of the star return men / wide receivers. He mashed his wife's toe, and she lost her toenail. So she's sidelined, you know, writhing. And then we had another guy who was like a 300-pound defensive lineman. He was dancing with his little girl like this, and as God is my witness, the dance floor came apart like that. So this was going bad real soon, you know? And so we're dancing and kind of doing that thing, and I'm laboring to do something and keep in step with this woman, and it was uncomfortable. I was sweating. I felt awkward, but guess what? It was awesome, right? Because I got a story, man. I did that. And so while I'd much rather Cabbage Patch, you know, all day long, like I got to learn the foxtrot and the waltz. I got to engage in the story in an adventure because I was willing to be uncomfortable. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. Like, have you ever just thought about your Christian life and just, have you ever been bored in your faith? Let me ask you this. Did you ever think about this? Did you ever think that God might be bored too? Like, if I promise you, if you're bored, God's bored too. And he's like, hey, when are we going to do something? When are you going to step out and keep in step with my Spirit? Because as we begin to do these things, man, God moments can happen. And so there's a Philip, right? He puts himself in an uncomfortable situation that, you know, that Jews and Samaritans didn't get along well. But he went there, he started preaching Jesus, and revival broke out. So I know I had to go years ago. I had to go to a Joel Osteen conference. And so, Pastor Joel, I'm a fan now. At the time, I was not a fan. And so I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to this, you know? And Pastor Ron Lewis, my pastor, a.k.a. my boss, he says, man, I just feel like the Lord wants you to go. You need to go to this. I'm like, I don't want to go. And so I went kicking and screaming, and yet I wind up going to this place, and there's a woman in front of us. She's weeping the entire time. And so I'm just like, I got to talk to this lady. And so I wind up talking and ministering to this lady. She's been in our church now for a decade. And I've just got to see her blossom before the Lord. It was a divine collision I wanted no part of. But I had to be obedient and keep in step with the Spirit and my boss. Okay? And so God wants to do those things. You know what else? Like you get a guy like Peter. How many know Peter in the Scriptures? He's always doing dumb things. But you know what? He wasn't so afraid to look foolish in order to serve God. And guess who got to be the first amongst all the disciples? Peter. And so if you're like, man, God use me, but God's not doing nothing, maybe you just need to say, God, I'm willing to look like an idiot in order just to be obedient unto you. And so Philip, he did that, and his life was powerful and amazing. I even think about Bob and Renee back there. I remember the first time I met Bob and Renee, they came to a church meeting, and then they went to a diner afterwards. I stalked them. I followed them to this diner. I'm like, hey, tell me about your life. You know, all this kind of, and they're like, who is this creep, you know? But you're here, so. So that's Philip. Now let's look at Simon the sorcerer. So Simon, and for the record, I don't know if you ever read your Bible. It's like they had like four names. You know, if it's not Mary and Joseph, you know, it's Simon and Elizabeth. And like, those are the only names they have. Like, we're getting into the Christmas story. You'll see like all the Marys there are. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the prostitute, Mary the, you know, it's just like everyone's Mary. And here we have Simon, not Simon Peter, not Simon the Tanner, but Simon the magician. And so he's there. And Simon, he's spiritual, but he's definitely not saved. And I run into that person all the time. So that is this kind of the spirit of our age right now, is that people are spiritual. Man, I get a little bit of Buddha, get a little Muhammad, a little bit of Jesus. And what you've done basically is you've made up your own religion of which you're God. And that's just the truth. And so there's a guy, I did a wedding. This is probably about 4 years ago. Did a wedding in Connecticut. And I playing hockey, like I lost all my front teeth, okay, and that's my excuse. And so I had to get work done on one of them, so they pulled it, and then I had to get a fake flipper put in there. And so I know this is much seems like too much detail, but so I had to do a wedding, and my mouth was swollen so much that I couldn't get the flipper in, and so I have no front tooth, and so I go to the wedding, the rehearsal. And I'm there, and I'm trying to cover this thing up, you know, like this. And I'm like, so could you please stand? You know, I was like, couldn't do any S's. And the bride looks at me. She's mortified. She's like, oh, my gosh. And so I'm calling my dentist. I'm like, listen, you got to do something. And so he had me take like 8 Advil, and I'm icing down the next day. And sure enough, I got that flipper in there, and we did the deal. And afterwards, we're at the reception, and we're gathered around, all the men were gathered around the bar area. And so I'm hanging with this guy, and this guy gets a little bit of crowd. And he's like, oh, you're a pastor? Oh, you used to play hockey? And yeah, yeah. And he's talking to me. And he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm spiritual. He goes, I don't go to church, or I don't read my Bible or anything. He goes, but God knows my heart. And there was a collective, yeah. And I'm like, I was all inside him. I was like, he does know your heart. It's wicked. It's sinful. It's depraved. Now, I didn't say that, but Peter did, didn't he? He calls out Simon. He's like, man, you are in the bond of iniquity, and gall has filled your spirit. In other words, your heart is not right before the Lord, and you have no lot and no place in this thing. And so that may seem like it's kind of cruel and just kind of harsh, but I promise you that self-righteous thing that gets on spiritual people, man, you got to hit that thing right in the mouth in order to kind of wake it up. And so he does that. And here's the sad thing. We never find out what happened to Simon. That if you read some extra biblical material, it gets crazy where Simon just goes dark. And he starts having these spiritual duels with Peter, where one scene is in Rome that he levitates and Peter casts him down in the name of Jesus. He crashes down and kind of has to go to the doctor and all that. It's crazy. But so we don't know. We don't know what happened. And I pray that he repented. But do you know, Simon reminds me of Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus is going to say this. You know, there's people that are going to look like Christ followers, but in the end, they're not. He says it's the parable of the sower. And he says, some people, they're stony ground. And he says, what's going to happen is they're going to just sprout up in an instant, and they're going to look real good for a bit. And then life will press them, and then they will bail on God. And so I see so many people that Christ, he becomes a means to an end instead of the end. In other words, like it'll be, hey, yes, Jesus, but give me heaven. Yes, Jesus, but give me healing, give me blessing, all these different things. And so they're actually, you use Jesus because you want these things. You don't want him, you want these things. And so that's a terrifying place to be. Pastor Shino, we did the Jets Chapel last night, and we noticed that there were more players there. And what's happening is guys are wanting to get a contract next year. And so they're like, bless me, Jesus, I'm at chapel, let me play good. And so, that is like stony ground. We see this. How many are excited about fasting in January? So that's right, Ellen. You probably are too. So we're going to be fasting in January. So you better get after your Christmas dinner and all that. But there's a text that we always use from the book of Isaiah 58, verse 6, and it says this: "Is not this the fast that I chose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. And so people approach that and they're like, I'm fasting, now God, you need to break the chains and do all that. That's not what the text is saying. The text is saying this, hey, you're fasting and now you expect God to do all this stuff for you. And he's saying, hey, here's what you need to do. You need to live right. You need to break the yoke, to set people free, to lift other people's burdens, and then maybe we can talk about you. See, do you see what it is? And so what people are saying, hey, I'll fast, I'll do religious activity, and then God, you better bless me. And so, listen, you cannot, that's manipulation and witchcraft. That's what Simon's doing. And so we got to be sure that our heart's right. He says this too, some of you are thorny ground. And so what happens, you love God, but you love a lot of other stuff too. And they can't be on the same wavelength. They can't be on the same level. And so he says, thorny ground people, they're unable to bear fruit because their heart's always conflicted. And so there's a guy, Ted Williams. I'm not sure, have you heard of him? He's like probably the greatest hitter that's ever played the game of baseball. But if you read up on his life, he sure wasn't a very good husband nor a dad. And so actually we had multiple marriages, and he was actually in the process of proposing to this one young lady. And he says, but here's what you need to know. Baseball is first in my life. Fishing is second. And you can be number three. So I know, I'm sure ladies, you'd be like, oh, yes, I'm sure that sounds, you've always dreamed of that kind of proposal, right, from a man. And so and needless to say, she declined him. And can I say that Jesus is not interested in being your number three? Not behind, you know, money, success, health, your family. There's good things. They're just not God things. God, it says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the king and the kingdom, and then we'll handle the other stuff, okay? And so that's what we need to do. And then he also said there's good soil, some that's 30, and it produces 30, 60, 100 fold, 100 times. Do you know in the first century to have a 10 times, a 10-fold increase was unheard of? So they hear 30, 60, 100. Are you kidding me? What do I got to do to this, to receive this? And it's like, you have to be good soil. And so there's a lot of times is this, like, listen, I'll be straight with you. So my wife, we've been married for 28 years, and if I'm shooting you straight, the only reason I asked her out is because I thought she was hot. Can we be straight? Like, I didn't care about her personality. I didn't care about her soul, her dreams, any of that stuff. I just thought, man, that girl is fine. I need to ask her out. And so that was kind of my story. But how many know that's fine as long as it doesn't stop there? And I'm happy to say after 28 years, man, I still think she's hot. But I also think, man, I love her heart. I love her soul. And I know what it means to become one. There's something very deep that happens when you fall in love with a soul, right? And so there's that part of it. And so, listen, maybe you come to Jesus like me, and I wanted fire insurance. I'm like, oh, God, I just don't want to go to hell. But it just can't stop there. And maybe you're like, God, I'm just desperate. I'm poor. I need you to show up. And maybe you just come to him for that reason, but it just can't end there. It needs to culminate into a relationship, to a covenant, a lifelong marriage to Christ. Let's go to the third point is this, the Ethiopian eunuch, the third person. And so if you don't know what a eunuch is, this morning, I'm just going to, it's not a zodiac sign or something. Hey, what are you? Are you a eunuch? I'm a Capricorn. No, that's not what it is. You can Google that later. But here we see this Ethiopian eunuch. This guy was a success. So this guy was in the queen's court. This guy, he was successful, but he was still searching. He was wealthy, but he was empty. And so I run into this person all the time. You're chasing the wrong thing, looking to find satisfaction and something that can never satisfy you. And here's what was weird to me as I was studying this. I'm like, why does the Ethiopian eunuch not have a name? Like we get Philip the evangelist, we get Simon the sorcerer, but he's just the Ethiopian eunuch. And as I began to look at people's lives, you know, you get the woman with the issue of blood, no name. You get the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, whose daughter is possessed. And you know what? In all these instances where we don't know people's name, God's prepared to do something in an instant. God said he's going to do something miraculous. We don't have time to get names or anything because I'm at work and I'm going to do something powerful in your life. And I see we do that. And so it was funny. I went out with Hack last night. He came to the Jets Chapel with me and we were driving over. I'm like, bro, I don't know your name. I'm like, your name isn't Hack, isn't it? So I found out he's the Apostle Paul. So that's the thing. But what's going to happen is God is fixing to do something supernatural and sudden in this Ethiopian eunuch's life. And so here's what I need you to see here is number one is this, that God saves. So I'm not sure if you've ever tried to share your faith with somebody, and when you tell them that Jesus is the way to the Father, that can be offensive. And then people immediately want to go to, well, what about the pygmies in the Amazon? And what about these people over in, you know, and they get all these far off people. Well, number one, it's glad you suddenly care about them all of a sudden. But number two is this, man, I look at this story. God doesn't seem like he's having a hard time saving the pygmy in the Amazon or an Ethiopian eunuch traveling in the desert. Because Philip is going to come out of nowhere. Do you know that the Ninevites were a wicked people? I'm guessing there weren't too many God followers there, but God's not bound by that because he's going to vomit up the prophet Jonah through a whale. And so God is able to get people, to reach people wherever you are. The gospel will save anybody, anywhere, anytime. God is able to do that. And so this Ethiopian eunuch is met by Philip in the desert. And so... I think the desert is significant because God, he meets with his people in the desert. I don't know if you've ever been going through like a wilderness time. You're in good company and God has not abandoned you, but he's waiting to meet with you. Like I know some of your stories right now where you're at and some of you are in the desert and you're like, God, where are you? And listen, do you know that God met Moses at a burning bush at this place called Horeb? That Elisha heard the still small voice of God on a mountain called Horeb. You know what Horeb means? It means desolate. That God meets us in desolate, dry places, not to forsake us, but it's the one time he gets our attention and he wants to bless us, take us to a new dimension in him. So you know the prophet Hosea, God says this through the prophet Hosea, that God, he leads his people out to the wilderness, that they no longer call him master, but now you call him husband, that he wants to increase your relationship with him. And so he'll allow us to go through difficult times. And so this Ethiopian eunuch, he's traveling. Now get this, from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, 1,500 miles. So it's not like he jumped on a Boeing 747 and just popped on that thing 2 hours later. Bam, Jerusalem. Nope, 1,500 miles. And can you imagine traveling all that way, all that expense, and he gets to the temple to worship God in Jerusalem, and because he's a eunuch, he can't worship in the inner courts. And so he has to worship at a distance. And so I know a lot of people, religious people, that man, you want to get after God, but you find he feels distant from you. And can you imagine the frustration in this guy? I traveled this far only to get that and still come away wanting and empty. And many of us, that's our experience with God. Hey, I'm at church. Why do I still feel so empty? I'm doing this fasting thing and all of God, where are you? And so some of these moments can take place. But we see here with the eunuch, God has him on a collision course, a divine collision with Philip and with Jesus. And so Philip, can you imagine how terrified he'd be? Man, he's like, God, I can't go up to this stranger in this chariot. He's got like all these people with him. And then what does he do? He hears him reading the prophet Isaiah. You got to be like, come on, Jesus, man, that's crazy. And so he pops up there, shares Jesus with him. And he's like, and then suddenly the eunuch's all in, right? I'm just going to get, man, there's water. Let's baptize. Boom. And he's all in a moment. And then here's the key verse. It says he left rejoicing, left rejoicing. And so here's what I want to end this way. So I saw this this special they did the other day, and it was called Catching Kayla. I'm not sure how many people saw that. It's the story of this one girl, Kayla Montgomery. She was a young girl, and she was very shy, and so her parents pushed her into athletics. And so she did a lot of sports, but she excelled at soccer. Until as a young girl, she's playing soccer, and then she experienced tingling in her legs after the game. And so her parents were a little perplexed, took her to the doctor, and diagnosis comes back. She has multiple sclerosis, MS. MS, it attacks the nerve endings in the body. Your body actually fights against itself until paralysis will set in. And so I can't fathom getting that diagnosis about your daughter. And so she couldn't play contact sports anymore, like soccer, and so they allowed her to run. And so as a high school freshman, she was going to be on the track team running long distance. And she was introduced to her coach, Patrick Cromwell was his name, and he says she was average at best. The best she could hope for is maybe one day as a senior she could make the varsity team. But Kayla wasn't having that. See, when she started running, the body temperature increases, and when it does, the symptoms of MS kick in. And so she immediately, once she starts heating up, she loses all the feeling from the waist down. And so she just thinks to keep her legs moving like this. And so she just keeps running and running until she gets to the end of the race. She can't stop. And so she has to wait for her coach to catch her, or else she just collapses and she's falling on her face and all that. So this keeps going on and on until finally she keeps doing better and better and better. And so I think we have a picture, too, of her running into her coach's arms. And that's the only way she can stop. And then her coach will pick her up, and then he'll begin to pour water and ice her down so she gets the feeling back. And so I feel like there's some people in here, you're kind of like that with God right now. That you've kind of been running and running, and you're just numb. You don't feel anything anymore. And like Kayla, I think you're doing it wrong. I think what you need to do is run in to your coach's arms and just collapse. Like, you got to stop trying to win God's approval and kind of earn things, but rather, you know, the Christian faith is the total opposite. That we rest in God's arms, and He begins to work from the inside out with us. Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.